B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
They are pecking at our cars. I have scrape marks.
And it seems sort of vaguely ridiculous as a grown man to be like, I'm afraid of these birds in my neighborhood. But it's really kind of distressing and terrifying. And it's sort of, it's nice to see, officer, that you're, you know, around maintaining civil society.
And what's the report for?
It's for a found fire hydrant.
It's for
Forgive
a what?
Me. Forgive me. My neighbor last night after midnight lugged into our condominium a fire hydrant.
They were laughing at me.
Okay.
And they were laughing about it.
Okay, I'm sorry that happened to you.
Oh, you know, my mother was a very lady.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app to stream podcasts, all those things. And it is true. Today is the return of Brookline 911 at 8 o'clock. Mike Gorman joining us after that. Billy Jaffe at 9 o'clock. Yesterday, I got my Pfizer shot, my first vaccination.
Excellent.
I got it at a CVS.
Good.
And not a big deal. It was running like water down a duck's back.
So you said your friend was able to hook you up with it. How did they do that?
I don't know. This woman, I don't know what her background is. She's friends with my wife. She, during this, has been helping, like, I guess, like charity, just been helping people. I mean, she just does what anyone could do, but she just has been helping people. A bunch of people do it with, like, old people that can't figure it out and everything. And she talks to my wife every day. And so she put our information in, and lo and behold, there you have it. That's all I know. And so, I do know that I'm going to be out of town when I'm supposed to get my second shot, and there was nothing they could do to help me there. So I'm just going to have her do that too, hopefully. And then I don't know. Because they're like, well, maybe when you're in Hilton Head, you can just do it in Hilton Head. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that. But maybe that's...
I think they're pretty strict about having to go back to the place you got it. I think there's some weird, like... Because I know a friend who was kind of in the same situation.
Well, that was their suggestion. Their suggestion was to get it at a CVS in Hilton Head.
I guess with a pharmacy, there might be a way you could do it. But I know that, like, in certain clinics and things like that, in these mass vac centers, up to a point, and it may have changed, they were pretty strict about, no, you got to do it here.
Yeah.
So I guess that, you know, with the Pfizer one, you're supposed to feel all right. Like, maybe a little bit of arm pain, you know, for like a day or two.
Nothing.
But then the second shot kicks you in the butt, from everything I'm hearing.
Yeah.
And everything I saw. Like, I saw with Mary, the second shot, that kicked her in the butt. It's no joke, apparently.
Yeah, my arm doesn't hurt or anything. It was nothing. You gotta sit there for 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Look at a wall, right?
Just kinda... to make sure you don't fall over, that kind of thing.
I guess apparently if... I'm very interested if something happens in that 15 minutes, what the expertise of the people at the CVS.
Boy, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Call an ambulance, apparently.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's not our fault. We called an ambulance.
Yeah.
So, but no, there was nothing. A bunch of people were sitting around, and then when the 15 minutes is up, you go about your business. You get a 20% off coupon. It's really quite something.
They give you a juice and maybe some Nutter Butters. Like what they do when you give blood?
That's not bad. I'll take the nut and butter.
That, you get 20% off, and then there's a lot of pressure because I got this 20% off coupon burning a hole in my hand. I don't and now I'm buying fish oil pills, and it's 2 for 1, and now, oh, boy, the mind is, how much can I save, baby?
Yeah.
So let's go.
I've been, for the past couple of days, going to the vaccination site here around closing time and just saying, hey, if you got any extra, if nobody shows up, you know, I'll be that guy. Because I heard that's how a bunch of people who don't qualify can get it right now. And so I've been hanging out, and everyone's been going to their appointment, so I've had no luck. But I had a friend, as you said, Fred, who went to a I think it might have been a CVS, like around closing time, and they had some extra in the bottle, and he ended up being one of the lucky ones who was able to get it. And I guess that after he was done, they just announced, if anybody wants a vaccine, we have 2 more shots available. And everyone's looking around almost like it's a joke, like whether to take it seriously. And then finally 2 people came up, and they got their shot. Unexpectedly, they were able to get it that day, which is cool.
It's one of those things that if I really wanted the shot, I would never have, it never would have come true. It's my complete indifference to getting the shot is why I got the shot. If it was something in life that I was like truly like dying to get, then it would never have happened.
Yeah.
But the idea that I put absolutely zero effort into it, I've never even talked to the woman who booked it for me. I've never talked to her in my entire life. I don't believe I'm clinically obese, but there must have been a smoking aspect to it. So, hey, listen, rehab's paying off. I got a nice check for like almost all of what I paid for rehab back to me, and I wasn't expecting that. And then I picked up a light smoking habit in rehab, and apparently maybe that got me my shot. So listen, I'm living the life of Riley. And this first shot's 80% effective, which is more than the Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah. So
I'm wondering why I even have to go get sick. If it's 80% effective, I'm fine with that.
2 weeks, you're good for a while, and then it knocks it up to 90 to 95% after that second shot. So
yeah, I just wonder why they just don't give everyone the first shot and then just let you be, especially if it makes you sick the second time. I mean, 80% effective seems pretty good to me. That's better. That's way better than the flu shot. The flu shot's like around 50%. I don't know, but whatever. I'll get the second shot. Ben, go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Influencer. How are you today?
I am fantastic. Thank you, sir.
How long was that CVS receipt when you walked out yesterday? I mean, you were there for 15 minutes. That must have been quite the tale.
Oh, baby. Oh, I found the number because I don't carry around the CVS card. It was, I'll tell you, I was living life, baby. I was living life. I've yet to peruse the receipt. I'm sure I got some extra care bucks in there. Very excited about that.
That's a gold mine right there. Listen, don't get the second shot while you're on vacation, just in case it makes you feel kind of off, or you know, you kind of feel sick or whatever. I got the Moderna one, and after the second shot, it took me out for a day, 104 temp, the shivering, the chills, and then I was fine. Yeah. But yeah,
oh, so,
that's par for the course, from what I'm hearing.
My
Brad,
parents didn't get sick. And they're old as hell, and they didn't get sick, but they had Moderna. Yeah.
It was weird. I think my mother and my father both got Pfizer. My father was down for a day, and my mother was fine.
Well, I'd rather be down for a day on vacation than down for a day here.
Did they get sick a little bit after the first shot?
No.
Okay, because what they're saying is that if you had COVID, then you're going to get a little bit sick after the first shot, more so than the second one.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, the second one's like a shock to the system because, you know, it's like your body's already got the antibodies after the first one. And when the second one goes in, that's when, you know, it's King Kong versus Godzilla. But if you've already got the antibodies, then, you know, when the first shot comes, then that's when the battle is between the two.
No, they didn't have it.
So it's almost like you can find out whether or not you had COVID and you didn't know it. But judging by the reaction after the first shot, if it's nothing, then you're okay. But if you end up getting somewhat sick, then chances are you may have had COVID and you just didn't know it.
Yeah, I didn't get sick, so I maybe never had COVID, despite having a roommate that had COVID, despite all these things. I just I'm smarter than the virus. I've outgunned the virus. Look at me go.
Basically ignoring it.
No. I always wear a mask.
Okay.
I did what they should, and I understand why they didn't do it, but I did what they should have said in the first place, and I understand why they didn't, because no one knew, but they should have just said, just go outside. spend as much time outside as possible. Instead of boarding up basketball hoops and, you know, just going stay in your house, which is completely unrealistic and probably not the best thing in the world, they should have just said be outside. I think if you're outside and you're not face-to-face with someone, you're okay. But no, I wear a mask inside. I do everything I'm supposed to do.
You'll find no picture.
No. The thing that freaked me out was the world shutting down. Believe it or not, when wild animals were roaming the streets of major cities, that did freak me out a little bit. But
like 12 monkeys, it was a 12 monkey situation.
Well, remember, like in Europe, like in Venice, the canal got see through, and then like there were like in Australia and Sydney, there were like. Koalas and like lepers like running around the city and
lepers
leopards.
I thought there was a shot for that already.
Oh, like, no, that's there's still a big colony. There's still a big colony right there. Lepers. Yeah, that's right. Leopards, I should have said. But they should have just said just spend as much time outside as you can. And if you saw in the summer, the numbers are lower than they are now, and that's why I don't think it got that bad in Texas, in Florida, as bad as predicted. Is because you can open up windows and you can be outside. And I think that that's the key, is being outside, is that you're better off outside than the, just like anything else. If you're outside, everything disperses.
Well, that's good. Excellent. Another one down. I know that they, at the Heinz Copley, are starting this week, and apparently they're going to be able to do like 9,000 people a day in that one spot, which is huge. And I told you how, like, what, last week they announced that Gillette's already done 250,000 people, like over 250,000 people.
You know,
so they've been able to rip them through.
You know, in Israel, they just gave everyone the Pfizer or Moderna. They gave them one until they ran out. And the cases there are extremely low. And so
they've done about as good a job as any country has done.
And that's what they should have done here, is instead of insisting upon the second shot, they should have just jammed it in as many people as possible, because 80% effective is pretty good. It's better than most vaccines. And so a lot of lessons being learned. All right, Rich, what's coming up? There was so much action yesterday.
Yesterday's Bruins game was such a mess, but so damn entertaining, and somehow they ended up winning. That was a great, really fun, infuriating game to watch.
Exactly.
And we'll recap all of that, including some Nesson fun as well.
Yeah, Nesson is their lights out this season. Their technical expertise is off the charts. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
I heard the promo for Zolak. I saw Shanahan talking to McDaniels and Belichick.
It's Zolak's a Jet fan all of a sudden?
It's all already been decided.
Okay.
It's funny, watch Justin Fields and watch Zach Wilson throw, and then watch Mac Jones throw, and you go, oof, aji-maji.
Yeah, but Belichick was only in one place.
Well, yeah, he wanted to hang out with
one.
His...
He could have gone to, he could have sent, dispatched the elf dentist to Ohio State. He could have gone to Kellen Mond. He could have gone to Trey Lance. He could have done a lot of things. No. And nope, he was with his buddy, Nick Saban, watching Mac Jones throw yesterday.
And he's the first person ever who wears a mask-type device that makes me think that they should ban masks. Because he's turned his mask into a nice little kerchief around his neck.
Well, Belichick, during the season, you remember he was the first one to double mask.
He wears it because he has one of those gaiters, like the thing that you wear when you fish.
Yeah.
And he had it around his neck as a kerchief.
Mm-hmm.
He was he's full Nantucket now. I mean, if you just look at the guy, he's sporting that attitude everywhere he goes. He's living the life of
leisure. Kerchief is a Nantucket thing?
Maybe not the kerchief. I don't know. I mean, you live there. I don't.
Yes, kerchiefs are not a Nantucket thing. They
only put it on your dogs.
No,
run on the beach.
Now, if it was a salmon-colored thing to match his pants, then that would, of course, be a Nantucket summer douchebag look. Yes,
I wasn't really talking about the kerchief. Just his overall, his uniform now is... he's not like a scraggly, guy who just seems like he's been breaking down film for the last 15 years. He's a guy who comes like, you know, he had little cargo shorts on. I don't even think that's a Nantucket thing, but whatever. I don't know. I've been to Nantucket once, and it was before we even moved here, so I don't know what. All I know is that there's a girl I went to college with that lives in Nantucket, and there's parties like you wouldn't believe. And it's something out of the Great Gatsby.
Well, as I understand it, there are parties, and then there are the high society parties you need.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be on the in crowd to get to. Those are the ones that Felger goes to.
Like the ones, I don't even think he's involved in this. These are ones that, like, why is there so much grass right next to the beach? Like this lush, beautiful grass next to the beach.
Everyone's got a lawn that goes right up to the water.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, right. how did you do that?
That's right.
There's about 2 months out of the year. By the way, there's a house here. You're talking about these houses. Like, the South Shore here has this massive erosion problem. There was a house that in the fall was, like, beautiful, sitting, like, on a little cliff on the beach. I went out there just last week. And, like, one of the legs that it's on is actually in the ocean. And they're going to have to take the thing down so it doesn't fall into the water.
So what's that, $4 or $5 million?
I would say, 20 feet worth of erosion in a matter of months.
Well, we don't have to get into it, but that's the thing is that if you own property on the water in Cape Cod, I don't know if that's the world's best investment right now.
If you're on the inside of the arm, I think you're okay. It's where the waves smash. I think that's where it's like the toughest part.
The thing about Cape Cod's not even the erosion. It's that the water's too hot, so all of the sea life is getting too close to shore. So that it's going to get to a point where it's going to get to a point where you can't get in the water.
Well, Truro, it's just like, I mean, that's where they all go to play. That might be the shark capital of the world now.
Yeah.
Every time, I mean, every summer, it's like Truro this, Truro that. There's always shark attacks there, which is insane.
Yeah, none of that appeals to me. Those areas, I don't know why I like Newport. The place around here I like is Newport. I don't know anything about Nantucket.
I love Newport. I love it. And Nantucket's similar in some ways. It's not as like they don't have like the arcade or anything. That's kind of more Martha's Vineyard. But
yeah.
I spent all my summers when I was.
I like Martha's Vineyard too. I'm a fan.
Yeah, Oak Bluffs. You got to go Edgartown.
Edgartown's all right.
Well, I used to stay on the South Shore.
I'm surprised you don't go to the dry area of the island where they don't even serve
Vineyard
booze.
Haven. That's Vineyard Haven.
Where
yeah.
no one ever goes.
Is there a dry area? I didn't know that. Really? You can't drink at a certain point.
No, you can't. Vineyard Haven is completely dry.
And like, I don't know anyone who's ever stayed there. Like, you'll end up in Vineyard Haven at like some dumb hippie place, and you'll be like, "Why am I here?"
That's right. It's like one movie theater, and
like, why are we in this area? Like, this is just stupid. It's all hippies, it's awful.
Like, I mean, but that's the thing. How can you go there? And I mean, unfortunately, you know, there's this thing that when you get on a ferry, all of a sudden, everyone around you starts, like, the party starts the second the boat takes off, and you're like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to be imbibing most of this weekend.
It's funny, too, because there are two places where the ferry lands, and one of them is Vineyard Haven.
No one's ever on that
but
ferry.
But it's funny, though. It's like, you were saying no one goes to Vineyard Haven. It's almost as if they built the ferry dock there to make sure that people went through that community.
Please come here, right.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Well, get rid of the hippies and start serving some booze, and people will show up. All right, Rich. So last night, the Bruins played.
Yep, it was one of their ugliest, most undisciplined games this season, but somehow the Bruins pull off an entertaining-as-hell come-from-behind win.
Pastrnak waiting back in his own zone. He grabs the puck, rushes over the line, cuts left into the far circle, now to the middle, shoots, he scores! Pastrnak with a dish and then softly tapped it inside the near post. The Boston Bruins victorious over the New New Jersey Devils 5-4, and the Bruins are now 4-1-1 in their last six.
Are they pumping in crowd noise? Because there's no way that's the sound of 2,000 people, and if it is, good for them.
No, it's got to be crowd noise.
That has to be crowd noise. I mean, that because it sounded like a full stands there, which we know it's not. But Charlie Coyle, David Pastrnak, they score in the shootout to help exorcise their New Jersey Demons. 5-4, the final score, finally beating this team that's been a pain in their ass all year long. The game, man, it started sloppy. Down by two for the majority of the game. Lauzon providing two unforgivable giveaways that resulted in two Jersey goals. It became clear that the team needed someone, anyone, to light a fire under their collective asses.
Drive into the right corner. Smith jammed against the wall by Kulikov. Knocked down by Marchand. Back of the net, Smith kicks it over to the near side. And we've got Brad, who jumped in on Marchand. And Marchand just hammering away with right hands while he's hit the deck.
You were hoping that that was the moment things turned around.
John and I have been talking about this. And that's not Marchand's job. First of all, this team is so dependent on Marchand. And that's Trent Frederick's job.
Yep.
And my theory on Trent Frederick is, and I was sharing this with John, is that he started to score a couple goals and thought, maybe this isn't my thing anymore. Maybe I can be this goal scorer. That's the only explanation. And Cassidy called him out after the game. And the thing is that Marchand is their best player. And he has no business being their best player. The thing about Marchand is he's become very skilled, but the thing is that he's balls out every single night. And he's not the one that is supposed to be doing that. And John made a good point. What if Marchand breaks his hand?
Or fractures a finger, or does one of about 100 things that happens in a scrum at one end of the ice in the corner? And you're down 3-1. Your team is listless. You're getting beat by a team you have no business losing to once, let alone three times before last night. And it's up to your best player, Brad Marchand, who contributes in special teams, penalty kill, power play, penalty kill, even strength, 4-on-4. And if he gets involved in a fight just to get his team some energy and breaks his right hand, you're screwed.
It's true. And as you said, Fred, they talked about that afterwards. Yeah, that he shouldn't have to be that guy.
No,
but he felt he had to at that point.
Well, of course he does, because he's looking around.
And nothing is happening.
And he's saying, why no one's doing anything? And it's obviously not Bergeron's job. It's not Pastrnak's job. But Krejci's useless. Well, you had three assists.
He's been pretty good lately.
Yeah, he's the greatest.
I think he said, like, what, 8 assists in the last 5 games?
He's the best.
He's been good lately.
I don't know.
He has been. I mean, he's been very good.
Statistics-wise, Rich, you're absolutely right. He's putting up points, but a second-line center shouldn't have one goal and 20 assists, should he?
I mean, he should be scoring more goals. He's been what you want in a center. He's been good over the last several games.
I would like him to be better. That's
I'd
my
like all
opinion.
Of them to be better, John.
You
can't ask for anything more from a lot of them.
David Krejci is making more money than anybody else on this hockey team. He should be better than what he is. And I have lots of people, and Fred runs into these people, and I'm sure you have too. The hockey guys who know everything and tell you know nothing. You don't understand Krejci's game. He makes everyone on the ice better around him. That's great, except I point to the proof, which tells me that this, regardless of where David Krejci plays, is still a one-line team. And it always has been for the last 3 years. There's one line. You put the goal scoring from Marchand, Pastrnak, and Bergeron, and as of last week, that was about half of the total output of the entire team.
And by the way, if Krejci's so great, why isn't Pastrnak on his line? Because when Pastrnak goes to his line, they feel like they're losing everything because he's not being facilitated like he is.
He's not consistently good. I'm just saying lately he's been very good.
Okay, and very good. But okay,
he has been. I mean, you have what, 8 points in the last 5 games? That's very good.
Score goals more than one. I mean, we're halfway through the season. He has one goal.
Yeah, like I don't go by the stat sheet with that stuff. I mean, I just go with the eye test.
Just want him to be trending in the right direction.
Well, I like what I'm seeing lately. Well, statistically, he's playing better than he was, even though he thought he had. been involved in a goal last night, and then he looked around, and the team had to inform him that he was an idiot that was pushing the goaltender around.
But they needed him last night. I mean, that's the thing, is on a day where the defense, you know, who's rarely this bad. Matter of fact, I think it might have been their worst game. I mean, they're dead on arrival. This was a great game offensively as far as, like, just shots on net. I think they set a season high with 48. And when you see someone like David Krejci, it just goes to show that, you know, they really had a above-average offensive game.
Back to Trent Frederick, is that this is on Cassidy now. And you talk to these players, and they don't want to do it. I mean, it sucks to go out there every night as much as they play and be physical. I mean, if you talk to them, I don't know about Trent Frederick specifically, but I've talked to enough of these guys. They hate it. It's not fun. I mean, you're going out and you're getting banged up every single night. And it's got to be very difficult to motivate someone to do that. But if this kid's got to get it through his head that, maybe he'll become Brad Marchand. Maybe he'll shock the world and become this crazy, you know, great wing. But right now he's not. And right now his job is to go in to be physical. It's not Brad Marchand's job. That maybe in a playoff game you want Marchand doing that, and I'm glad he did it last night, but your best player, John and I were talking about it, we're on the same page. Your best player has no business having to do that. You do that.
Yeah.
You go out and do that. Yep. And that's his job. We got on Krejci just because I just said it's not Krejci's job, and it's not, and it never would be. That would be completely unfair. And it's not Craig Smith's job. I mean, Jesus, Charlie Coyle could go out and do it. Do something, Charlie
Coyle. That's how this kid stuck earlier in the year. He started engaging people.
Remember we would talk about how fun he was? And
Frederick, sure.
And he was mouthing.
At least he's scoring still. I mean, at least he's doing
it. Remember he picked the fight with Tom Wilson? I mean,
yes.
That's the kind of energy that you need.
He went to Ovechkin. You pick a fight with Ovechkin, you got walnuts for clankers.
When you say he's scoring, I guarantee you now, I bet you every time he scores, Cassidy goes, oh, Jesus. Is because he's probably having, my take on the situation is that he's probably having trouble getting through to the kid. Because the kid's probably like, well, look, I score, you know, and thinks he's something that is not his role on this team. And to motivate a guy to go out there and be physical every night has got to be difficult. But that's got to be a big priority of Cassidy right now.
Yeah.
Is getting that kid out there, because you're missing defensive pieces that can do that. So, Frederick, come on. Get out there.
You're
probably still up.
What Marchand did yesterday, fantastic. He really pulled his team out of the mud and got them back into the hockey game. I mean, he's scoring right after that takedown.
Yep,
I mean, that
great.
Was huge for this team.
It was awesome. I mean,
he's their best player.
He was the spark plug.
He's their best overall player.
They lose last night. And Philadelphia goes to Buffalo tonight. They lose last night. Philadelphia beats Buffalo tonight. The Bruins are out of a
playoff
spot. Well,
I thought they were going to lose, and then I went, oh, Jesus. Well, now we're going to have to. I still don't think there's any way they don't make the playoffs, but I was like, don't put the idea in my head.
Yeah, because like, they're still hovering there. They're not safe. Yeah.
But you got to beat New Jersey, and you got to beat Buffalo.
You got to finally beat New Jersey.
If you beat New Jersey and you beat Buffalo, you'll be fine. But just beat these teams.
Yeah.
And well, split with everyone else.
To your point, Fred, you're talking about Marchand and like how, you know, he shouldn't be the guy doing it. Brad even kind of in the post game alluded to that. I think he was trying to send a message to your guy Trent Frederick and maybe some of these other younger players.
You know, we need to have everybody going if we're going to compete and be a contending team, which is what we want to do. But yeah, they're a huge part of our group. They played phenomenal tonight, really carried the play, you know, got stepped up in a big way. So it's great to see.
Yeah, we need an effort from all these guys.
Yeah, he does. He goes balls out every night. And listen, he makes stupid mistakes every now and again, but he goes balls out every night. I mean, just look at the two games against New Jersey, the two in a row at home, and look at them with him and without him. And they don't win that game last night without him. And no one's asking you, Frederick, to go score 20 goals. Everyone's asking you to go and be physical. All right, Rich, what do we got coming up?
Oh, well, we can talk about some of the other Bruins stuff a little bit later on, but the NFL may have given us a nice little gift yesterday, something that was unexpected that is a result of the new 17-game season.
All right, we will have that for you in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Next at 10, Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, Solak and Bertrand.
I like this.
Right now.
This to me is fun.
It's Tusher and Rich.
What is happening right at this moment.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
People either hating me or liking me.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is the new Hum album, which is so good. Might be my most listened to album from the past year.
I've pretty much just stopped listening to music. I never listen to music.
I listen to so much of it. It's like I have to, when I walk the dog, I've got to be listening to music. When I in the house, there's constantly music going.
See, it's just my daughter and I and Family Guy. We just have Family Guy on Hulu constantly on a loop. I don't know what she gets from it or what joke she gets, but she finds it comforting. My daughter is almost exactly like me. She doesn't like my wife touching her. she really doesn't. I told you that when she saw my wife sleeping in her bed, she was like, clean the sheets. She's like, change the sheets.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So, yeah, she's like, she doesn't like the cat sitting on her.
Not good at all.
No.
Like you like the cat sitting on you, don't you?
The cat's gotten very, very... Mademoiselle Fluff has gotten very, very needy and in her old age, and it is a lot. Like, even at 4:30 in the morning, she'll come and sit on me, and I'm like, all right. And she stinks. Yes.
So, Fred, that Instagram photo I saw of the dog and the cat, was that from yesterday?
That was 2 days ago,
That was 2 days ago. You were just like, I can't be...
Yeah,
alone for not even a second.
Yeah, because,
that picture was hysterical.
Because now the cat will...
The dog is right in your face.
Yeah, because the cat will go and get on me, and the dog does not like that. So then the dog will come and stand on me.
Literally.
And then swat the cat away with the dog's paw. But then the cat will move, but only move a little bit.
Just out of range.
And then they'll stare at each other, and it's this stare down on top of me because I'm the big, fat, immovable object on the couch. So, but my daughter will sit and watch Family Guy with me. But, it's becoming obvious who's child. My son is very much my wife's child. Mm-hmm. And he, like, wants companionship and things touching him. He rolls on the ground with the dog. And me and my daughter want our space. Leave us. Just don't touch us. Leave us alone, please. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Well, if you ever wanted to take the day off after the Super Bowl, you may not ever have to ask again because, according to reports, the new 17-game schedule starting this season most likely would eventually move to Super Bowl Sunday, or Super Bowl Sunday, rather, to President's Day weekend.
See, I've heard that is only going to happen like twice in the next 20 years or something like that.
So this is from the Washington Post. He said, obviously, this year's Super Bowl would fall 1 week before President's Day weekend, but in other years, the Super Bowl would fall on the Sunday right before President's Day.
It's a cycle. So I heard him talking about it yesterday. It's only going to happen like a couple times because the league doesn't want that. The league doesn't want the day off the next day. They want it where there's not a holiday.
Where people will talk about it and
people are
news.
Home. I mean, because I know the Super Bowl is a big draw, but why lose anyone? So if it's a weekend and people are out of town or something like that, and you know maybe not as many eyes are on it.
You remember when they moved the college football playoffs? They had the semifinals 1 year were on New Year's Eve.
Oh, and it was
viewership
disaster.
Was way down.
Yeah.
No, so, you're right about that.
Yeah. So I apparently. And it's no good for us because, I mean, we would obviously want to work the day after the Super Bowl. But if you wanted the day off, unfortunately, you're only going to get it as by the current plan like twice. Dan's looking it up, but it is like twice in over the course of a very long time.
Like on leap years? Is that what it is?
You'd have to get that extra day on a leap year that then would push the holiday back.
So the NFL wanted to avoid that, and they have successfully done that except for a couple times. So,
and let's face it, President's Day weekend, that's too late for football to be going. Like, I can maybe live with the 10th.
Who's to say? I mean,
President's Day weekends are like the 18th usually. It's like right around like there.
The Jets will have been out of it since September, so it won't matter to me.
This goes in line with what the NFL's been trying to do for the last decade, elongate all of their events so that we are without football for maybe 3 weeks out of the year.
Well, and if the Patriots are active, it's great. But the thing is they haven't extended the schedule since like the 70s, so... Look out. I have a feeling that this is not the end. That, you know, it's going to be this way for a while, but...
Until the next CBA when the players' union gets crushed and they add an 18th.
Well, you saw what the players' union put out there. Like, you know that our pay is based on the amount of games, and we have new revenue sharing, and we've all been able to... So the players will be making more money. And so they put that out there. They put out a...
Because
Maurice
I think
Smith.
That there were reports of people who were very angry... almost sticking up for the players. I think I forget who some of the talking heads were that put that stuff out there. But speaking of that 17-game season, you want to hear some BS? Here's Roger Goodell.
We're still within the 20-game format. That was something that was important to the NFLPA, and that was part of the structure of our CBA. The data, the highest rate of injury is actually in a preseason game of any of our games, even our practices. So what we're actually doing is actually following the data, following the science, to sort of make sure that we're doing things both from a health and safety standpoint as well as seeking always to get better in every way.
So it's safer to add an extra game onto the schedule.
It had nothing to do with getting extra TV revenue from an extra regular season game.
By the way, his calculus is fantastic. It's like, if you notice, most people are injured in the preseason.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden,
when
it becomes the regular season, all of a sudden, magically, that game just, oh, it's regular season. The injuries don't happen as much. Even though technically game one of the regular season would be game four of the preseason, it doesn't matter. Just magically, if it's a real game, you don't get hurt as much.
Yeah,
everyone's cool.
And you're going to see that now at the beginning of the regular season is going to be basically an extension of the preseason. You're not going to know anything about teams now until a quarter of the way through the season. It's going to be difficult to say who's who because they don't practice. I mean, they really don't. I mean, they used to play 6 preseason games. And they used to...
Two-a-days on top of that.
So Troy Vincent used to come in here and be pissed because he thinks that they... Troy Brown used to come in here. He was great. But he would be pissed because he'd be like, yeah, they don't hit anymore in practice. He thinks he could have played longer. So if you think they used to play 6 preseason games, they used to do 2-a-days. They used to hit in 2-a-days. They used to hit all the... So by the time the regular season came around, they played even with a 14-game schedule, by the time the regular season came around, I mean, they were raring to go. They knew who they had. They had been hitting. They had all this stuff. And now, I mean, Goodell, yeah, they go, people don't watch practices, so who cares? And I don't really care. But the thing is that, you know, how much are you going to be able to install? How ready are these players going to be, you know, come week one? And the answer is not very. And he is right. They've limited the amount of contact dramatically. So if you want to play the game, he'd probably say every hit is equal. Well, we've taken out 1,000 hits out of the preseason because of, you know, our practice rules and our rules with the preseason games, blah, 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 blah. And that's probably how he's spewing it out, even though when you're playing in a regular season game, people are going full speed and all of that stuff. But that's probably how he, you know, can talk himself into this, you know, verbal gymnastics.
Yeah, and also your stars are playing. I mean, they weren't going to be playing in those preseason games anyway. So, man, you know, if you're Torrey Smith, as you said, John, who was, you know, complaining about that on Twitter, you know, his gripe is legitimate. But then again, hey. More games, safer for everyone. Bill Belichick yesterday, I know you guys saw him on TV over at the old Alabama Pro Day, where you saw Mac Jones overthrowing a few guys. And there was one video that went viral of Mac Jones overthrowing this pass, and then it goes directly to Bill Belichick, and he's just shaking his head.
Yeah, he don't like that.
He didn't like that at all.
Or maybe maybe McDaniels was trying to tell him about the new Richie Sambora project, and Belichick was just like, nah, man.
He's got to get back with the Joe.
He's just like, there's the core five, and if any one of them leaves, Alex Van Suchware, I'm calling your name. Yeah, if you, listen, I don't know what those things mean and what the quarterback means, but I mean, the difference physically between Zach Wilson, Fields and Mac Jones is really apparent.
Well, Fields is a freak, Fred, and we saw that yesterday. I mean, he ran a 4.4 40 yesterday. I think it was the 4.44.
Yep,
which is the first,
which is
only
slower than he ran at Ohio State, because they have a board up there where he ran a 4.38 at Ohio State.
But you look at how fast he is, along with the size and the arm strength and the ability to play hurt and all of that stuff. And you're telling me San Francisco is going to pass on that at three to take Mac Jones?
No.
And that, follow that argument out. That's the reason why Belichick was sitting there in Tuscaloosa. It had, he and Nick Saban are buddies, but he knows that San Francisco is not going to take Mac Jones.
Oh, that's
three,
not why Belichick
that's
was
the,
there.
The only quarterback he has a shot at.
No, Belichick was there to hang out with Saban. He wasn't there to see Mac Jones. He was there to hang out with Saban. Absolutely. Because he would have seen any of the other quarterbacks, too. He wasn't there specifically to scout Mac Jones.
No, Devonta Smith was there, too, and Mac Jones got to throw some of his other guys, which is nice.
Yeah, nice to overthrow a guy that runs like a 4.2. But
won the Heisman Trophy, best wide receiver in the country.
It's funny because, Justin Fields tried to duplicate the great rolling left throw that Zach Wilson made, but just couldn't contort his body
enough.
Here
we go.
Who would you take, Zach Wilson or Justin Fields?
Zach Wilson.
See, I don't know.
I would.
And listen, this is from a guy who didn't watch a ton of their stuff. I've just watched,
I've seen highlights.
Games.
I mean,
highlights.
Joe Murray's a Zach Wilson guy. He was on him like last summer, but
Lockhart's a Fields guy.
Okay.
So,
I mean, Fields is going to be great, too. I mean, he's going to be very good, but Zach Wilson seems
to be. Well, one of these
consensus
guys isn't going to be. One of these three is not going to be great, at least. Probably two, at least.
Well, if that's the case, then Lawrence is good and Wilson and Fields aren't.
Never know.
I think Trevor Lawrence is a can't miss. I think
that's what everyone says.
Maybe
a little too much.
I think people are overthinking this, which is what happens between the end of the season and the draft.
Whoever was at number one's taking Trevor Lawrence. No one's not going to take him. I mean, he's born to be a quarterback. I mean, he's perfect. He's perfect physically.
No, but I mean, people have spent the last 2 months overthinking this.
Well, yes, we've also, I don't recall, watched pro days with this kind of intent and marveled at the throws. And seen, they have fun in Alabama, though. You know, the running back, the Harris got to throw a little pass. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. And people tweeted out, like, did you see this? And you look at it and you go, what happened? Oh, yeah, the running back threw a pass. Wow, that's hysterical. thanks for sharing that. That's
great catch by Mac Jones back in the end zone. Yeah,
right. Quite an athleticism from my dad 20 years ago, Mac Jones. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.